everyone. Welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And that's it. So it is Sunday night. The Richmond Open has concluded. We now have 2 weekends worth of standard, and I'm sad.
It's standard, man. You got to take it for what you will. Necessary evil, I mean, and all.
I will take it for a necessary evil, but when there are two decks in the format, pretty much, you know, it's disheartening to see. I understand the bannings that they had, and maybe this is just due to the fact of the cards that got printed in Aether Revolt, mainly with Felidar Sovereign. So I see Healy's taken over, but I thought we would see a little bit more diversity, and I know a lot of other people have. That's just looking at the concealed top eight for each. We'll get to that here in a minute, though, because I want to know, Jerry, what have you been up to recently?
So I have been doing a lot more toying around with Modern and Legacy recently. I haven't had too much time because, you know, got a new day job and all that. And because Ad Nauseam is now possibly the best deck in Modern, I've been playing a lot more of that on Modo. I've gotten a couple 4-1s, but I just can't seem to snag that 5-0.
Yeah. As for me, my playing has been on a huge downtick. I haven't shuffled up a real 75 in probably 3 weeks now because of work, and I haven't been able to play much Magic Online in over 2 weeks as well. Just, again, work. We're getting ready to go underway. We got a lot of things we need to prep for, and it's been terrible. But I was fortunate to catch 2 solid days of standard play, and even with the Star City coverage that it is, and they kind of do like to hone in on their players, you did get to see some really good decks. We had the chance to have a Black-Red Zombie in top 8, as well as a Temur Eldrazi deck in top 8. And but the biggest thing is the main decks that we have with Saheeli and with Green-Black. So here in the beginning, we're going to talk about the different flavors you can see and try to discuss how you can get about beating them. Coming up in segment 2, then, we're going to talk about the big winners and losers thanks to the bannings in Modern.
Woo!
All right, so, again, we have the 2 decks, Green-Black and Jeskai Saheeli. The main flavors you're going to see for Green-Black are the primary Delirium builds, as well as your aggressive builds, or Green-Black aggro. And they are kind of around the same things. Big creatures that you'll notice that are the same are like Tireless Tracker, and Kalidus and that. But with the latest one with aggro, you're looking at utilizing Winding Constrictor, Walking Ballista, and just other cards that provide you with different counters and that. It's a lot more closer to the ground in this build. You're more creature heavy. 24 creatures, Vice 23, but you have a different spread of creatures, I should say. The highlights from Aether Revolt that we have are Rishkar, Pima Renegade, of course, Winding Constrictor, Glint Sleeve, Siphoner, and the Gifted Aetherborn, and Walking Ballista.
I gotta say, about that, the Green-Black Delirium flavors, my favorite one is the aggro flavor. I honestly believe that the creatures in the Green-Black aggro deck are just too good to pass up. They're all better than what removal is being offered, and with Emrakul gone, the Delirium grindy matchup has a little less to grind towards. I'm a bigger fan of the aggro deck.
Yeah, me too, and that's definitely where I lean towards on the 2 decks over Delirium and your aggro. Now, your Delirium deck obviously is still great. You're running almost the same package. You've got your Mindrak Demon, your Grim Flayers. You're running Verdurous Gearhulk, which a couple of your Delirium decks kind of toyed with a little bit, but you're in 3 on it. Walking Ballista is also in this one with Winding Constrictor. The spell package is substantially different between them. Green-Black Aggro, you're looking at Blossoming Defense, and more on your Grasp of Darkness, Fatal Push, and Aethersphere Harvester.
Quick mention and shout out to Walking Ballista, man. That card is silly. Like, I told you about Limited. Silly to have a Colorless Fireball. Everything has access to it, and now it's rearing its ugly head in Standard in multiple archetypes. So,
right.
Good job on Wizards making Hangerback Shocker a thing.
interesting plays that we've seen with Walking Ballista is your turn 2 Winding Constrictor, and then your turn three Walking Ballista, now just going to enter with two plus one counters.
Yeah,
instead of one.
That's absolutely degenerate. Like, this makes Grasp of Darkness kill anything with six toughness or better. That's insane to me. That's really powerful.
And yes.
Really over the top. Like, the card itself is okay, but it just makes all your other cards just better. And it itself, if you sacrifice itself, it also just turns Fatal Push on. So, yeah. Good card is really good.
Yep, and then you can follow that up with Rishkar, Pima Renegade, and if your Walking Ballista is still out, as well as your Winding Constrictor, now each of those are going to get two plus one counters.
Like,
and
pay two mana, get three counters on it. It's almost like two mana for a Lightning Bolt, which is Incinerate, but in green and black. Like, I think that's half the problem with why green and black is so good, is that it's got its own build, its own Lightning Bolt.
Right. Your green-black delirium list, again, I'm going back and forth between the two just to try to compare them. Your spells, you're looking at Fatal Push, Grasp of Darkness, To the Slaughter, and Traverse the Ulvenwald. Definitely more removal heavy. And if you're trying to beat this deck, the biggest thing you have to do is you have to try to get around the removal, either with counter spells, which we did see with a Jeskai control list that made top 8, or go significantly wider than them, but also be able to beat out their top end when they've dropped Verdurous Gearhulk or Noxious Gearhulk, because they're going to be coming.
You can also play out of the graveyard. Like, there's a lot of creatures that still exist in the format that don't care about dying. Make removal bad. I've always been a fan of that.
Yep. But both of these decks, incredibly powerful. I enjoy both of them. I really like Delirium leading into the rotation that we're going to see with Aether Revolt. Well, not really rotation, but the onset of Aether Revolt. Now, I was kind of scared about whether or not I should buy into it. And I'm really glad I did, because now I'm saving some money. And if it's still a thing whenever Amonkhet drops, then I'll definitely be playing this. Probably more the aggro side than the black-green Delirium side.
So what about that other deck, Rob? Tell me all
about it. So the other deck, Saheeli, Copycat, whatever you want to call it. Jeskai Saheeli won this weekend, piloted by Dylan Donegan. And the different flavors you can see is just straight Jeskai or four colors splashing green. The creature package is different between the two almost all together. The main things that you see that are the same are Planeswalkers, Saheeli, and Nahiri, and then the creature, Philodera Guardian. Once you leave the creatures, then you're looking at, or once you leave those, they're different. Four color, you're looking at Ajani Unyielding and possibly even Chandra Torch of Defiance. You're also looking at creatures such as Cloud Blazer, which is the 5-drop flying. When it enters the battlefield, gain 2 life, draw 2 cards. Always good. Rogue Refiner, 1 and Simic color, so green and blue. Enters the battlefield, draw a card, get 2 energy, and then Servant of the Conduit. It also runs a 4 of Oath of Nyssa, or a 3 of. It depends, again, on which 75 you're looking at, but it's anywhere between 3 or 4. 4 is always the better one, I would say, to go with in this, because you are running 4 colors. You have probably between 7 and 9 Planeswalkers. You don't want your mana to hold you down from casting these.
Yeah, I also prefer the green version as well, because if your Oath of Nyssa is such a powerful card. It's a ponder in the format. And you get to use it to its full extent in this deck. Alongside, you can actually just win the game on, Cloud Blazer can actually just win the game. Copying Cloud Blazer with Saheeli is probably the strongest play in the deck, besides actually just winning the game by copying the cat. So, yeah, I prefer the green version.
Right. What's up?
One last thing I wanted to talk about, mentioning Copycat. This has kind of come up a little bit, but there's a lot of Jeskai control decks going around. Without the combo. And this is kind of, the whole Splinter Twin effect that Modern had so long ago, is that people still have to respect the combo, so you can expect that they have it, but we've seen a couple Jeskai control lists pop into top eights where they just don't have the combo, but you have to play like they have it. If you don't do that, then you're just going to get wrecked by the combo when they board it in, or if they board it out, or if they have it at all. Like, it makes people play bad Magic, and I absolutely love that aspect of this format. It's probably the one thing I love the most about Standard, is it's making people play just awkward Magic.
Absolutely, and that is exactly what Luke Finney did, and he ended up finishing, after the Swiss rounds, he ended up finishing first. I can't remember what his record was exactly, but yeah, no, he was able to do really well with it, and he ran, his three creatures were Torrential Gearhulk, and his two mainboard planeswalkers were actually Jace, Unraveler of Secrets.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things too, you could do with the deck, I saw another version that was just running Nihiris, like, just because you can. Like, the archetype is so ubiquitously powerful enough because of the fear of combo that you can just about run any win con you want. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if next week we ended up seeing a list that just ran four Gideons because it can.
Exactly. And I'm sure it could get away with it, too. Gideon has always been a strong planeswalker. Now, Luke ran two Gideons in his sideboard, and also had two Dragonmaster Outcasts in his side.
Man, that's going. That's harkening back to Culligan's Command.
Now, I'm not a fan of Dragonmaster Outcasts, only for the sole purpose of, with the printing of Fatal Push now also, a quick one-drop answers that without having to meet any kind of additional... like Revolt.
I agree with you, but who's playing removal against him post board? Like, I get his line of thought. He's trying to play around them. Like,
oh, absolutely. Like, and
he's assuming that all his opponents are good Magic players, that they just pull out the vast majority of the removal. Like, I can get behind the pick.
Yep.
Well, that's what you usually think. You know, you play the Laboratory Maniac in Modern Game 2, and they still have Lightning Bolt in their hand. Like, what are you doing with Bolt? What are you doing?
Right, and he set up his main board quite well with a mix of both removal spells and counter. He had 7 out of his 21 spells being counter spells. He ran 3 Anticipate with 4 Glimmer of Genius as well, so all of the card draw advantage ever. 2 Fumigate to just completely clear the board. And then he had Skywheeler Shot, 2 Shocks, 4 Harness Lightnings, Stasis Snare, and 2 Quarantine Fields.
You mentioned Fumigate, man. The downtick of vehicles, like, it's nice to see the deck. The card. It's wonderful to see it. It does actually make an impact in this format. The green-black aggro list cannot deal with a resolved Fumigate sometimes. Seems good to me.
Yep. And then the Jeskai Saheeli, its main creatures were Torrential Gearhulk and Felidar Guardian, and both of which we saw throughout all the coverage this weekend. Fantastic targets for Saheeli Ray. Blinking or getting a copy of Torrential Gearhulk to hit the field so you can recast that Glimmer of Genius that you just played at the end of turn, or, you know, being able to get off another Harness Lightning Anticipate or whatever it is that you wanted to get, was all of the value. And now you have two of them swinging in then. So now you're swinging at 10 power?
Yeah, swinging at 10 power, drawing 2 cards, gaining some energy, making your Harness Lightnings better. Why have people not been copying Gearhulks earlier? It just seems unfair.
Ugh. And that's a question, you know, to kind of get asked. And if you... Maybe people just didn't think it would be that good. But if you go back to the days of RTR Theros with Azorius Control, how long did it take for people to... you know, tune into Quicken and Supreme Verdict?
It took quite a while. It took a while, right, for people to tune into that trick.
And both cards were available. I mean, Quicken was in the core set M14, and Supreme Verdict came out in, what was that, Return to Ravnica?
Yep, the original Return to Ravnica. Or, wow, that's oxymoron.
So, I mean, you had the cards there available, but no one really used it until much later in the game. And now they're starting to see Saheeli Ray and Torrential Gearhulk. I would almost like to see a deck that ran to Saheelis, ran to Torrentials, but no Felidar Guardians, again, just to further bluff that combo.
Yeah, why not? Showing Saheeli in your deck, now people are definitely scared of the cat. Now they got to play around the cat. I mean, or you could just do it with, like, one cat because you have the combo. You know, you have the chance, right, to combo, but you're not dedicated to it. That's
right.
insane, absolutely insane that we have this available to us in Standard, that this metagame has devolved into, does he have a copycat? Does he not have the copycat?
Yeah, so, I mean, both of those are the top tier decks. And when it's coming to beating them, you really need to think, you know, the best ways of doing it. And Temur Eldrazi, which was a really good deck run by William Bingham, he had a great run with it, missed out on his winning in, and he was able to, he finished 14th overall. And that's all that he did. He flooded the board with just strong Eldrazis, utilized Emerge with Wretched Griff, as well as running the 4 of Elder Deep Fiend in the main, which, Jerry, that should make you a little happy.
Oh, it makes me so happy, man. Elder Deep Fiend's life.
Yep. Metallic Mimic did really good also. A new card we saw from Aether Revolt. And that's the one where it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type, and Metallic Mimic is now that chosen type as well. And then each creature you control of the chosen type that enters the battlefield with of the chosen type enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it.
Now, I'm not saying I called it with Metallic Mimic, but I called it. I knew any Eldrazi deck that was going to come back into Standard was going to have this, and this makes me happy. I just wish this deck got more representation.
Of course, because now your Eldrazi Sky Spawner, it's entering as a 3-2, and its token is entering as a 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I miss with this deck is that it's only two Reality Smashers. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Just be four Smashers.
right, I think he's doing it just to make room for, like, Drowner of Hope. It is a one of in there. The three of Rogue Refiners, just to draw cards to get some energy to make Harness Lightning a little more powerful.
I think the fix here is, honestly, you just drop Wretched Griff altogether. Like, emerging here is fine, but it's not, you're not trying to play undercosted big mana Eldrazi to get back a copy of Kozilek's Return. You're not trying to do that. So that's about the only change I'd make. Like, this deck is super close.
Yeah, and it seemed like, so watching the different games and that, the Wretched Griff was mainly there to chain his Sanctum of Ugin's so then he can get his Elder Deep Fiend.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it's there for. That's about the only value he's getting out of it, is that he just blows a Sanctum. The fact that he's running four Sanctums, though, give this guy credit. This mana base is something of savages. So many colorless based lands, and he's able to play a three-color deck. Kudos.
And watching him play too, it was wonderful to watch him play. He was a feature match in two rounds, one of which he went up against the red-black zombies list, and then in the other one, it was his winning in round 15, which sadly he lost.
You know what? He gets, again, he's my hero. He's got every card to this deck I have except for the four Metallic Mimics. Like, that's the only thing I don't have. Like, I can play this deck. Anyone who played Eldrazi in Modern can play this deck in Standard at absolutely no additional cost to you. And this is something I'd pick up on. I'd pick up on this.
And then, of course, the other standout we had was, I really hope I'm pronouncing your name correct here, Zan Syed with Black Red Zombies. And this was a deck, Jerry, that you were on for a little bit too prior to the banning of Smuggler's Copter.
Yep, I'm still on it too. It's the one deck I still have.
And it looks great. It's for those who weren't familiar with Black Red Zombies before, Scrap Heap Scroungers, Crypt Breakers, Haunted Dead, Insolent Neonate, Prized Amalgam, Voldaren Pariah, and then what I really enjoy, a one of Distended Mindbender.
So this is what I love about the deck. He is strictly on the Black Red plan. He has said, Prized Amalgam will be in the graveyard. I will never cast this card. That is amazing to me. Like, that is that is dedication to trying to get that card out onto the battlefield in the most unfair way. Like, anyone who's seen me play, I play Grixis. I play that awkward mana base so I can play Elder Deep Fiend and copies of Minister of Inquiries. But he is so dedicated to this plan, I think he might actually be just the better deck list.
Yep. And he has a lot of different ways, too, to get his Prized Amalgams in the yard. He's got Insolent Neonate to get into the yard. He's got Haunted Dead to get into the yard. He's got Crypt Breaker, Cathartic Reunion, and Lightning Axe.
And Key to the City.
And Key to the City.
Like, the only thing I don't care about his deck, personal preference is I hate Fiery Temper. I I think that card is more geared towards the red black aggro list with Smuggler's Copter. But what do I know? I didn't finish 13th with the list, so I could be just completely wrong.
Nah, I mean, I enjoy it. I really like it. The Fiery Temper, again, with all the discard outlets he has, it's a quick bolt, either to player or to creature.
It is very true. So it is a fast bolt.
Yep. His sideboard is a powerhouse of a sideboard. Looks like he's going mid-range on it with an additional Distended Mindbender, two Kalidus, two Chandra, Torture Defiance, a pair of Collective Brutalities and Lost Legacies. Or Transgress the Mind, and to release the Gremlins.
Okay, I can explain the sideboard here. I got this. Okay. So the Kalidus is purely for the Kalidus's, Chandra's, and Lost Legacies are particularly for the green-black matchup. You need to beat that match, and these cards answer that deck relatively well at a good rate. He's in Collective Brutality and Transgress the Mind, and the additional Distended Mindbender. So he can deal with Copycat. He doesn't want to lose to that deck. Lost Legacy is also just absolutely great against that. You name Saheeli, the deck's gone. I mean, the combo's out. Super strong stuff all around. To note, Collective Brutality is also good against it. It also continues the enabling of the Graveyard Shenanigans. And Release the Gremlins is really just a concession to someone. There's enough artifacts in the format to, you know, 3-mana blow up an artifact, get a 2-2 dude. That's fine.
Yeah. So that's really it, I would say, for the open breakdown. Obviously, looking back real quick at what we saw in Columbus. Columbus, we saw Green-Black Delirium. And Saheeli kind of split with three copies of each, and then you had green white tokens and Mardu vehicles. This weekend we saw four Saheeli decks, one Jeskai control, and three total green black delirium lists with green black list. Saheeli wins it this weekend. Last weekend is won by green black. Who's gonna win the next weekend? Honestly, if I had to put a bet to it, it's going to be another form of Saheeli. Control, I think, is going to make top 8 again in the next standard open, but I think it's going to be a Saheeli deck that is going to take it. Real quick, the Pro Tour is next weekend. Jerry, what do you expect to come out of the Pro Tour?
I honestly expect... that is a tough question, man. I mean... There could be something, like we've seen this in previous Pro Tours where Star City Games will happen and then the Pro Tour will show something completely different. Like we see absolutely zero copies of Aetherworks Marvel. I still think Aetherworks Marvel is playable. I still think the deck is strong, and turn four casting an Ulamog is broken. I wouldn't count it out, and I just wouldn't be surprised to see two copies of that in the top 8 of the Pro Tour. Like, I think people are still missing on that. What do you think, Rob?
I really like Marble Works as a dark horse, or, as a lot of people went rampant on stream, some kind of paradoxical outcome storm as well. Just because artifact hate is gone. There's no legitimate artifact hate in these sideboards. Natural state, appetite for the unnatural. Those cards aren't there anymore. Fragmentize, you don't see it.
No, they're gone. Like, you might be able to get around hate just by playing that list. Like, it could be something. I really hope so, too. Please let it be something.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, tune in next week or later this week, then. We'll be talking a little more on standard and whatnot. But we're going to take a break for now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the modern winners and losers, thanks to the banning. Hey everyone, welcome back to segment 2, and we're going to be talking about modern winners and losers, thanks to the bannings.
Woot, woot. So, I decided to start it off with the losers, because that's kind of obvious. You know, we had our two bannings in Gitaxian Probe and Golgari Grave Troll.
Yep.
And on our little show notes here, Rob, as you can see, I kind of ordered them in the order that the losers are the way I feel them, way I feel that they're the biggest losers, so to speak. I think the biggest loser thus far is Death Shadow Zoo. The deck only had 12 creatures to run, and it ran almost little to no protection spells outside of anti-bolt spells like Mutagenic Growth. Gitaxian Probe gave the deck the knowledge it needed to win and also pushed towards extra cards and the reduction of life to make the Death Shadows happen. Now they have to play protection spells, and the best one they have is Apostle's Blessing, which actually costs a mana. And Death Shadow Zoo can't actually afford a mana. Like, it showed in the classic this weekend. The deck is gone. Does not exist. Like, it's not even a thing right now. Kind of falls in the same vein with the blue-red Kiln Fiend deck that was actually picking up. Before the banning, a lot of people were playing blue-red Kiln Fiend because it was just as explosive, but you were dedicated to two colors, and you could actually play cards out of your sideboard that can interact very well with other decks of the format. They lost Gitaxian Probe. Kiln Fiend can no longer get 5-power draw card for 2 life. That's gone. And it also shows there. What do you think about those, Rob? You think I'm right on that?
Those two decks, huge hits. Definitely with Death Shadow Zoo, because just like how we're going to talk a little bit when we get to Infect on this card, it's the ability to know what your opponent has, know if it's safe for that swing, getting the card advantage, and getting yourself closer to just exploiting Death Shadow was huge with Gitaxian Probe, and it's gone now. And looking at the top 16 from the past two classics, Death Shadow Zoo is nowhere to be found.
Gone.
At all.
Absolutely gone. The problem is that Peak exists for the knowledge factor, but it doesn't give the loss of life a thing, the loss of life thing for Death Shadow Zoo. And Kiln Fiend and Death Shadow Zoo can't actually afford the one mana. That's the tough part. Like, the freeness of that spell was what made those decks function. Which brings me to Infect. So, Infect played Gitaxian Probes just for the exact same reason. The knowledge of spells, not so much for the life loss of life. Infect can actually afford the one mana, so they're not as bad a loser. Some people have reverted to playing Peak. Rob, have you played Peak yet?
No, I haven't, and here's why I haven't. Sure, Infect can at times afford that one mana, but there are other times where we strictly cannot. We run a tight mana base of 20, maybe 21, depending on how much you want to lean on your fetches. Sorry, I yawned right there. And just other ways to fix. But that one blue mana, the only time it's good is at the end of turn, which thankfully Peak is an instant speed card. It allows you to do that. But turn one, you want to get that Glistener Elf out. Turn two, you're hoping to follow up with either a Noble Hierarch, which if you do, great, then you are able to save up mana for Peak at the end of their turn, and then hopefully kill them on turn three. Or if you don't have Noble Hierarch, maybe you're going to throw down Blighted Agent. Turn three or turn four, that's where you want them dead. If you start going later, your chances of winning have significantly dropped because your opponent can draw more answers, he can clog up the board more if you don't have Blighted Agent, or he can just kill your creatures, and now you're wasting your pump spells or your blossoming defenses and your vines when you don't want to use them.
100% agreed with you. Another thing I'd like to add on about Infect is that, to me, it has turned into, as far as the losers go, it's definitely because of the loss of Probe, the turn two is just gone. Like, it still exists if you want to risk it for not knowledge's sake. But Infect has turned into, really, it's probably one of the best decks to take into a top 8. If you're top 8 in Grand Prix with Infect, you already know what your opponents are playing because you get to look at each other's deck lists. So you're not so reliant on the knowledge with Gitaxian Probe. I think that is super strong. I think that's super important to point out. I have tried it with Peak. It's okay. I'm not a giant fan of it. Like, I think the mana is still just a little too expensive for it, but at least with the turn one Noble Hierarch, you can pay for it.
Yeah, the only big advantage that you still get with Peak is you get the card draw.
Yep.
Which we all know this deck needs. You get to see what your opponent has, and you get that card advantage. If you don't want to run Peak, run more protection, because that'll just help you out also in the long run, too, of saving your creatures.
I mean, they can. They originally got rid of all those Apostles' Blessings. I guess you now just play those 4 Apostles' Blessings alongside the 4 Blossoming Defenses. I don't see your creatures ever dying with that much protection.
That's 12 hexproof spells you now have in your deck.
Yep. That's pretty hard to deal with.
All right.
So another loser. This one was already a loser to begin with, and I don't even think the deck exists anymore. It was Pyro Ascension Storm. The old red-blue storm list with the Goblin Electromancer to make your spells cheaper and trying to put two quest counters on your Pyromancer Ascension so you can copy your spells. Well, it went from a Tier 2 deck to non-existent because Gitaxian Probe was needed to give it Turn 3 consistency. It can't even do that anymore. So the deck's gone. If you didn't have already sell out of your Pyro Ascensions, then you've lost all your value on them.
I'm surprised you gave it a Tier 2 ranking, to be honest.
The reason being is that there were two guys I remember in DC area that consistently performed well with the deck, and it was the way they played it. Like, they aggressively played Mana Morphosis and such, which I always thought was wrong, but turns out it was right. Like, I've lost to the deck enough pre-Gitaxian Probe banning that the deck was at least a Tier 2 player.
Gotcha.
It was already losing to Infect, Kiln Fiend, and Death Shadow Zoo pretty fast anyways, which maybe it was just Tier 3 or Tier non-existent as it is now. So it could have been just the local area.
Yeah.
Another loser, and this is more so the fact that the three best decks had taken a hit, that this deck just took a bigger hit. Nahiri Control and Blue Moon Strategies. Barring Living End and Cheerios, the traditional control archetype lost all of its good matchups to the banning. I mean, Lightning Bolt and Path to Exile were strong cards against the Zoo list, the Kiln Fiend list, and the Infect lists. They have to be able to protect themselves from that, and these are one-mana answers to that. The other decks that got good, which we'll get into in a minute, got good to the point to where their bad matchups are gone, and they were unwinnable matchups. So now that you have more unwinnables running around, like playing Nahiri Control and Blue Moon is a little devastating. You can get away with Blue Moon because Blood Moon is still a card, but if you don't have the turn 3, turn 2 Blood Moon, you're losing pretty bad. Do you agree with me on this, Rob?
Yep. No, because like you said, those decks that were just terrified of the turn 2, turn 3 kills, that they're not afraid of that too much anymore. I don't think there's too many decks that can kill you turn 2 or turn 3 as consistently as what we saw with Death Shadow Zoo, Blue Red Kiln Fiend, or Infect.
Yep, and that's what the control lists were, the traditional control lists were great at keeping down. The other loser, the last of the losers, and I don't think it's actually a huge loser, it's just all its good matchups took a hit, so therefore it gets a loser, but it can still win games of Magic, and that's Burn. You know, Burn had the ability to kill all the creatures and all the aforementioned decks very consistently. And now that those decks are down, Burn went from being able to kind of beat those decks out to now just being able to... We're now dedicated to burning your face. So there's a possibility we're just going to see less Searing Blazes in main boards. Beyond that, yep. Burn's kind of just there. It'll always be there. All the red spells are there.
Oops, sorry, I was confused to see your placement of Burn here in the losers, just because it is kind of hit like how you said. It's better matchups, you know, got worse. But I would say I would feel indifferent about it. The cards didn't have a direct impact on the 75, obviously.
Yes.
But it's the way that they interact with the other decks that I think is what could jostle Burn down to a low. I would say I feel indifferent when lose to it's a loser.
True. I'll give you that. I'll take it back. Burn goes to indifferent. It's kind of indifferent. It's not really loser or winner. The card Searing Blaze is the loser here. Because all the decks that got boosted are decks that just did not care about Searing Blaze. The majority of them.
Right.
So is that fair? Is that a fair assumption?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's a fair assumption there.
Okay. Searing Blaze is the loser. So, winners. And the obvious winner was Tron.
Oh, yes.
All of its bad matchups were the turn 2 hyper aggro killers. Now that they're gone, increases Tron's likelihood to run into the green-black X and Scapeshift Valakut decks that it could beat. That's good for Tron. I never really cared for Tron decks myself because they were losing to these archetypes, but now they're gone. It's a good time to be sleeving up Karns. Am I right?
Absolutely. The main decks now, of course, there are still just your all-in combo decks in the form of like Ad Nauseam, Crucial Brand, things like that are still going to be a pain for Tron. Okay, those were the normal decks that we had issues with as Tron players. Now, when it comes to your hyper aggro decks, those are gone. You're going to see Tron performing better and better over the next few modern events as people begin to realize I can re-sleeve up Tron or I'm going to move to Tron.
And yeah, that pretty much narrows that down with the Tron. You mentioned Ad Nauseam and Grishulbrand. Obviously, is Tron's worst matchups, which is where I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think Ad Nauseam and Grishulbrand are both currently the biggest winners. I think they're the best decks in the format right now.
Yes.
Ad Nauseam, it's almost an auto win against Tron. Unless they get a turn four Ulamog, you just win. And even then, you don't lose to it. With the increase in Tron, there will be a decrease in green black X decks because that's what Tron preys on. Tron preys on fair magic decks. And Ad Nauseam's worst matchup, barring the decks that got pretty much banned out, was a Jund list or an Abzan list. So now that those decks will be down in the dwindling numbers, Ad Nauseam's going to run into all the matchups it wants to hit. Affinity, Coco Combo, Tron, Scapeshift, Valakut, you name it, it's going to see those matchups. And Grishulbrand falls into the same vein. On top of that, because of the banning of Golgari Grave Troll, Grave Hate's on the drop. Like, nobody's playing it. You get to play a graveyard combo that also just wins on turn two, turn three, which had trouble against the aforementioned decks because they kill just as fast and more consistently. Now their consistency is gone. Grishulbrand is probably the best turn two deck in modern. Am I right, Rob?
Yes, it is again all in combo, so I will play cautious here with it. If you don't know the deck very well, this is not something for you to pick up. But if you are familiar with the deck and you put it on the side because of the rise that we saw with Suicide Zoo or Death Shadow Zoo, with Blue Red Kiln Fiend, and just your turn two, turn three hyper aggros, which were beating you out before you can establish your combo. I think now's the time to sleeve up Grishulbrand. And if you look at the most recent classic, it actually won. And then if you look at the other classic, it took third.
Yes, it did. Another deck, big winners here. Scapeshift or Valakut, either your traditional rug Scapeshift, your red green Titan, or even your five color Bring to Light. This is a good time to be Scapeshifting. The deck had such a very medium to bad matchup with Infect, and it was an auto loss to Death Shadow Zoo. You could not play the deck in that format. When Lightning Bolt's your only removal spell, you cannot beat Death Shadow Zoo. You will just lose to them pretty much every time because you don't combo until turn four. You're trying to play a fair game of ramping, fair, I say it lucratively, in comparison to what they were doing. Now that Death Shadow Zoo is gone out of the format, you can play Scapeshift now. This is a great time to be, I would almost say, Rug Scapeshift is your better choice because Cryptic Command is still a strong card. I just don't think it's strong in the traditional control shells. I think it's just better. It's better against Tron, you know? Countering Karn is fine. Countering Ugin is great. You don't get hurt as bad losing two lands against an Ulamog, but you can still counter it and get it out of there. This is important stuff. I think Scapeshift is also a great place and is a big winner right now. Rob, what do you think?
Not just Scapeshift, but also how you tacked on all of your forms of Valakut decks. Red Green Breach, your Rug Scapeshift, your just straight Red Green Scapeshift, your Bring to Light, all of it. Death Shadow Zoo was the absolute worst matchup. And the thing is that deck was cheap. It was prevalent. It was everywhere. And seeing it, I felt better going up against Burn and Infect than I did up against Death Shadow Zoo.
Every single
Because
time.
every time, because they always had Death Shadow coming down like turn three, sweet. It's like, a 9/9. I'm about to get everything pushed in that I don't want pushed in, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yep, you can't do nothing about it. Lightning Bolt was just not good enough against that deck.
No.
Another huge winner. I mentioned how a Stormlist died, another one came. One card printing, in SRAM Artificer and a Banning of Gitaxian Probe to nerf all the decks that this deck would lose to, all of a sudden makes Cheerios Storm a thing. Zach Elsick played it at an IQ and was... I didn't see the results of it, but we saw him post, and he was number one in the Swiss of an IQ of like 40 people. That's great. Cheerios Storm is the way to storm now. For those who aren't familiar, you play SRAM Edificer, 2-mana 2/2 in white. Whenever you cast an equipment, an aura, or vehicle spell, you draw a card, and the entire deck is 0-mana. Or the entire, rather 32 to 34 cards of the deck are 0-mana equipment spells, so you're just going to cast them and draw through your deck, and cast copies of Retract, 5th Dawn spell that returns all artifacts you control to their owner's hands, you return all these 0 drops, continue doing it, cast Grapeshot for huge. Rob, do you think this deck actually has legs behind it, outside of just one really good player playing it?
I think it's... Yes, it does have great legs behind it outside of the one player playing it, because no one expects it right now. As it builds up, I think we're going to see it get squashed.
Yes, I agree with you there. Cheerios Storm kind of falls into the same pitfalls as Living End, Grishelbrand, and Affinity. If people are playing the hate, you are probably going to lose. That's good. That's always important to note. And another big reason why it's a big winner is Lightning Bolt decks are not really the winners right now. The Lightning Bolt decks were actually the ones keeping Kiln Fiend and Infect in check. And Lightning Bolt still exists. Let me get this out there. Lightning Bolt is still the most played spell in Modern, but it's just on the downtick. We got three other winners. Living End falls in the same vein as Grishelbrand. The Grave Hate is gone. Dredge was on a downtick. We can now play our Living End combo again. Blowing up lands is a very strong thing you can do, especially when Tron is the best deck in the format. Am I wrong about this, Rob? Is Living End a playable deck once again? Do they want to be doing something different with it? Do they want to be playing Copycat in this?
No, with how prevalent Dredge was, and that was one of the main decks that everyone, whenever you talk to people about why they were running Grave Hate, it was Dredge, then Living End. Living End really has never performed overall fantastic. It has done well. It has done good, but it has not been like your consistent week after week top 8 finisher like what we saw with Dredge there leading up to the banning of Golgari Grave Troll. With Golgari Grave Troll gone, I think it's going to be the out of sight, out of mind, I don't need graveyard hate that End as well as Grishelbrand is going to be able to come up and do better.
Agreed, 100%. So, second last deck, Coco Combo, and any collected company strategy therein, they had terrible interaction. They could not interact with the decks that were winning just faster. They had a cool infinite combo that if they got it to succeed because their opponent fumbled, then they won. So the deck wasn't dead, but it wasn't always there. Now with those decks just kind of dead and in the water, Coco Combo can make a comeback. Do you think people are going to be prepared for it, Rob?
No. Because that was one that it kind of disappeared, and it was concerning for me because I knew since it was gone, I really wasn't thinking too much of it. Now, I still had my Gravedigger's Cage to help fight against it, but outside of that, there really wasn't a whole lot that I was doing or thinking about when it came to Coco Combo, and the Gravedigger's Cage wasn't even really for Coco Combo. It was for your Dredge decks.
Yeah. The only downside of playing Coco Combo is because we both agree that Ad Nauseam and Grishelbrand are probably the best decks in the format, Coco Combo could not really perform well against those decks. So Coco's still a winner in that a lot of its bad matchups are gone, but a couple of its bad matchups got better. So it's kind of on the middle ground, but I still call it a winner here.
Absolutely.
The final deck I want to talk about in the winners category, and it's not so much the deck itself, it's more the card that the particular card that the deck plays. And the deck I'm talking about is either Death and Taxes or Eldrazi Taxes, whichever variant you like to play. Whether you like White Weenie Dudes or playing some Top End Thought Knots here. Both versions are fine. And it's not so much the decks themselves. It's Thalia, Guardian of Thraven, that is the winner here. Turn 2 Thalia in Modern was really bad for a long time because of 0-mana spells. Turn 2 Thalia was never fast enough. Now it is. Turn 2 Thalia is something that Ad Nauseam can deal with, but is tough, And Grishelbrand, again, can deal with it, but it is tough. Sometimes you just don't have that third mana source to continue doing what you need to do. Am I right to say that?
It's not just a third mana source. It is the consistent third mana source because, sure, you get into that chain of pay 7, draw 7, and now instead of paying for your converted mana cost, you're removing your Norse control from the game. Oh, but it costs one more.
Yep.
Exactly. And now you're casting your other spells, your Gorgo's Vengeance. It went from 2 to 3. Your Mana Morphus to fix your mana just went from 2 to 3. We don't have that mana. We don't have that amount to help us out.
Yep. So I consider this like kind of how I said Burn had a Searing Blaze was the loser. I kind of want to go with the same caveat on this. The deck itself isn't really a winner, but Thalia, Guardian Thraben is the winner.
Yes.
And our last little category here, the indifferent decks. The decks that are kind of, that didn't really change position in my opinion. And the given one here is Green-Black X mid-range decks, whether it be Jund, Abzan, even Sultai starting to see a little play now because of Fatal Push, which can be considered its own deck. Right now, it hasn't put up numbers, but people are trying. The deck has always been 50-50 against the whole format, with the exception of Tron and Valakut, which has leaned 55-45 in the other deck's favor, which isn't even that bad. A good player can play around those matchups. So Green-Black X gets the indifferent. The other indifferent here is Dredge. Most of you would say, "Oh, this deck got a you know, it's got to be a loser. It lost its best dredger." Well, Rob, from what we did earlier, you know, we played the deck with just Stinkweed Imp and Golgari Thug, and we learned you could still dredge 15 cards on turn one, turn two. Dredging 30% of your deck turn one is still a problem. It is not reasonable magic. Like, Rob, can you let me hear a testimony, buddy? Tell me why they wouldn't have banned like an actual card out of this deck. Like, explain so, dredge as like the whole mechanic is just a problem.
So they hit Golgari Grave Troll a long time ago, and it's like first semblance of bannings, if you will. I can't remember exactly when Golgari Grave Troll got hit with the ban hammer initially.
It was initially banned.
Okay, there we go. And so, of course, dredge didn't do anything. It would pop up occasionally and be like, "I'm dredge." And you'd be like, "Okay, great. You're playing some tier 2.5 piece of crap deck." And that was the mindset a lot of people had. But then we got Prized Amalgam and we got Cathartic Reunion. What?
You get a...
Now you're allowing me to enable all of my dredgers. And then you're like, "Oh, okay. We're going to unban Golgari Grave Troll." And I want to say the unbanning came prior to. Either way, Golgari Grave Troll was unbanned, the cards got printed, and people just went rampant. We saw a game on one of our streams. Jerry, you were playing up against Gabby Sparks, and she went through, what was it, like 30-some-odd cards on turn one?
Yeah, she was down to her last 28 cards, I think it was. She had her hand of 7, blew through 20-something cards because she had the multi-spirit guide hand.
Yep.
Now, here's the argument people will make, is they'll say dredge isn't the problem, fast mana is the problem. No, it's not. When mana costs for cards, it's never the problem. It's the dredge mechanic itself. When your graveyard is an extension of your hand in such a way, that is just not a great thing.
Now, am I saying they need to ban dredge? No. What I'm saying is they missed the card to ban. Cathartic Reunion.
I agree. Cathartic Reunion should have been the card. If you're gonna ban dredge to where it's gonna hurt, it needs to be the card that just super enables it. And Bazaar of Baghdad for 2 mana is still Bazaar of Baghdad. There's a reason that card is banned in Legacy. Like, why not? Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you could. I mean, if you're gonna ban dredge, you either ban the enabler or just errata out the whole mechanic. Vintage has done it. It is not a wrong line of thought to just ban out a whole mechanic. So I digress on talking about banning out a whole mechanic. However, it'll be a conversation for another day, another week. We'll get into that later. I want to talk about our two final decks that I'm really indifferent on as our biggest winners, biggest losers. And Eldrazi Aggro is an indifferent piece here. It has the same, I don't know if you'd want to call them pitfalls, but pitfalls are the same vein as Green Black X decks, where none of its matchups were really unwinnable. It had enough interaction everywhere to where it could interact with everything. You know, Thought Not Seer could interact with Ad Nauseam really well. Path to Exile could interact with Glistener Elf really well. You had your own copies of you could even play copies of Eldrazi Displacer to bounce out creatures that were coming in at you awkwardly. Like, a 9-power Death Shadow could be bounced out. That was a thing people were doing. Do you think I'm right in calling Eldrazi aggro a indifferent choice?
Yeah, I think so. If anything, maybe even a little bit on the uptick, because your more hyper-aggressive decks are gone, so it is possible to see Eldrazi aggro do a little bit better. It did have its early game answers, and then, of course, you know, Reality Smasher is still Reality Smasher, let's face it.
Yeah, I'm really getting smashed. Ah. Oh, that's a bad dad joke. I'm sorry, guys. Had to do one for you.
I hate you, Jerry.
Oh, that's all good. The final deck I want to talk about is Fish. And again, Fish falls into the same vein as Eldrazi aggro, with the exception that I think it's just a worse deck. Yeah, you can interact with Tron mana better, but you lack Path to Exile. You lack any interaction within your creature's Vice Curse Catcher, which explains that crazy price tag. Another conversation. And if Affinity becomes the best deck in Modern again, which is a real probability, because again, Affinity never saw a card on the ban list, Fish just loses to Affinity. So Fish could just be, you know, on that indifferent edge. Like, Affinity becomes a winner, but its bad matchups become losers. So Fish gets the indifferent call. Am I right, Rob?
Yeah, it's better matchups really didn't get too much better, and it really didn't gain any new worse matchups that are going to, I foresee, bubbling out of the woodworks with the losses of these hyper-aggro decks. Fish was always one of those matches you did have to look out for. And, yeah, no, I don't see it getting any better or any worse here leading into the next round of Modern Opens and GPs.
Yep. You definitely couldn't ignore Spreading Seas. At least that card is unignorable, especially if you're a Tron player. Having your Tron thrown off because of Spreading Seas is actually game-losing, especially with a turn one copy of Aether Vial. Now they're just cheating mana, of course. So, after going through the majority of Modern decks, Rob, do you feel I missed anything? Anything else, in your opinion, became a winner, a loser, indifferent? What do you got for me?
Affinity. We didn't talk Affinity.
Go ahead and talk about it. I did mention that it didn't take any bans. It's about the only thing I mentioned.
It wasn't hit by any of the bans, and in fact, we have deemed this one to come out a winner. Mainly because with Affinity, enough folks were scared off of Dredge, which was a terrible matchup for it, that we really think Affinity is going to be able to make the comeback because folks aren't on Artifact Hate, which is true. Really isn't a lot of Artifact Hate out there at the moment. And it's also seen, it hasn't seen any banning since the inception of Modern. So its original 75 is all there with the small add-ons that we've gotten as Standard gives us the occasional toy to play with in Affinity.
Yeah, the whole deck is still all together. It's in its piece. It's still pieced together. Affinity is always a good option if you know how to play the deck. And even when Dredge was still around, people still played it that owned it. The deck is still powerful enough to do its turn two, turn three kills. I think alongside Ad Nauseam and Grishelbrand, if nobody's on Artifact Hate, we're going to see Affinity win the next whatever Open or Grand Prix we see. Like, I really believe it's Affinity's time to come back and just crush a format.
Oh, yes.
Well, that sums it up for me on winners, losers, and indifferent choices for Modern. Rob, is there anything else we'd like to talk about for this segment here?
I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Again, check out our website at www.thesnapcast.com, where we post all of the latest podcast. We should be putting up a few more Standard decks now that we can kind of see what the Standard meta has done. We can give you our takes on plus 2 week Standard, what 75 we think that either you should be running or what we are going to be running. You can check out also everything that we do on youtube.com/randomlettersandnumbers. You can find a link on our website, and we should be putting up a few more deck techs there as well. facebook.com/thesnapcastmtg to catch all of the latest updates, tweets, whatever it is that we do. Also on twitter.com/thesnapcast, we have all of that there. twitch.tv slash The Snapcast has kind of taken a little bit of a pause. Jerry's been incredibly busy with his new job. I've been incredibly busy with everything we've been doing. Sadly, we have not been able to get to streaming. But when we do, you'll definitely know on our Facebook page and as well as on Twitter.
I have working equipment now, so we're good.
Boom.
Just gotta find everything time.
Working. We are on OBS. We got rid of XSplit. OBS is amazing. It is Bay, if you will. I learned that one the other day.
Hashtag OBS Bay. Hashtag XSplit garbage.
So that's going to do it for us. Thanks again for tuning in.
Oh, snap.